This afternoon, I'll be speaking on the peacemaker. The peacemaker. The name given the Colt Single Action Army handgun is a .45 caliber single action revolver holding 6 rounds of ammunition. It was designed for the U.S. Cavalry by Colt and adopted in 1873. It was perhaps the most prolific pistol in the Wild West. In other words, it got a lot of people's attention, settled many disputes. But this isn't the peacemaker you wanted me to speak about. You want to hear about the real peacemaker, the real McCoy, the lasting eternal peacemaker. Well, now that's a different story. For this peacemaker, we need to look to God's written word. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew 5. In this chapter, we're given the Beatitudes. The 7th of these Beatitudes, the one I'll be discussing this afternoon, is listed in Matthew 5 and verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Brethren, we live in a world of constant turmoil. Throughout history, we've only had brief periods of peace. And even these, quote, periods of peace have only been superficial. We fought 2 world wars, been involved in numerous conflicts. Some conflicts continue to this day. If we're not fighting the enemies of our country, we're fighting among ourselves. We seem to be living in a boiling pot, ready to boil over and spill into the fire. There has never been a time when we've had more need for peacemakers. Throughout history, we've had peacemakers. But based on history, we can reasonably conclude that the business of peacemaking has been an abject failure. Let me add here that there have been some success in bringing the worst of the hostilities, the violence, to a halt for a brief period of time. This world gives great recognition to war makers, war mongers. But God says peacemakers are blessed. Since God is our supreme ruler and has all wisdom and authority, we can't truthfully argue with his conclusion. The first step in becoming a peacemaker is to make peace with God. Without God's Spirit, God's wisdom and understanding to guide us, we know no peace. Paul tells us in Romans 3 and verse 17, the way of peace they have not known. Romans 8 and verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, hostile to God's way of life. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Until repentance, and of course an ongoing conversion occurs within our life, we can't truly develop righteous character and can't truly be instruments of godly peace. Jesus Christ was a peacemaker. Isaiah 9, verse 6 tells us he's called Prince of Peace. I'll have to admit, at this point in preparing the sermon, Ed, I came across an apparent snag. I came across a contradiction, an apparent contradiction in Bible verses. Isaiah 9, verse 6 tells us that Jesus was a peacemaker, while Matthew 10... verses 34 through 36 states, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. To me, strictly me, these verses sound like Jesus is ready to whip out his old Colt 45 peacemaker and make some serious attitude adjustments. But, upon further study and some godly wisdom from Mr. Link, I came to this conclusion. Jesus is not encouraging disobedience to parents or conflict at home. He's telling us he did not come to bring the kind of peace that glosses over deep differences just for the sake of superficial harmony. If we've truly been called to follow Christ, conflicts will occur in our lives. Our morals, values, our goals, our overall beliefs will set us apart from others. Don't neglect your family. But remember, your commitment to God is even more important than they are. Jesus set us an example to live by. He is our role model. We should pattern our life after him. Paul writes in Romans 12 and verse 18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I understand. There will be times when this can be a very difficult request. But it is a stepping stone in developing godly character. Although Jesus Christ was a peacemaker, his life did not produce peace, not at that time. Jesus was viewed as more of a troublemaker. He didn't go along with the liberal agenda of the day. His message of the kingdom of God and the sinless life he led was viewed as a threat to many. They were moved to jealousy. It raged to the point where they incited the populace to sway Pilate's judgment. And ultimately, put him to death. Put our Lord Jesus to death. Christ's life, death, and resurrection qualified him to be our ultimate peacemaker. His sinless life qualified him to be mediator, high priest and mediator for us before God, the Father. Turn to Ephesians, the second chapter, please. Ephesians 2. We'll read verse 14. Ephesians 2 and verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us. When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, he described the traits he was looking for in his followers, the characteristics of those who would be in his kingdom. Peacemaking qualifies as a characteristic each son of God will exhibit. James 3 and verse 18 tells us, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We are to seek peace. Hebrews 12 verse 14, we are to pursue peace with all men. We are to avoid needless quarrels. If we truly use the Spirit God has given us, we will not become contentious, angry, or bigoted, but rather calming, gentle, and tranquil. Peacemaking will become an intricate part of our life. Peacemaking involves more than mediating between disputing parties. And of course, most of us are not adept at reconciling warring parties. And that's okay. That's not the kind of peacemaking Jesus is concerned about for us now. His idea of peacemaking revolves around the way we live, our conduct, how we react in or to a situation can make or break peace. We had an interesting Q&A on what would have happened if Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree of life. Although very informative and thought-provoking, the fact still remains they did not eat from the tree of life. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was Adam and Eve's conduct that broke their bond with God. Our sins, our conduct separate us from God. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not even let the sun go down on your wrath. As you can very well imagine, trying to be a peacemaker, to get people with a different view of a problem to change their minds can sometimes be very frustrating, emotionally draining. Quoting Robert J. Samuelson, a columnist for the Washington Post, people have interests, beliefs, and prejudices that once firmly entrenched are not easily dislodged, and certainly not by logic or evidence. Rush Limbaugh stated, people live on emotion. You can't argue with emotion. We're told in Proverbs 26 and verse 17, he who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. This strongly indicates that peacemaking may also be a very painful endeavor. God tells us he will reward peacemakers. In Matthew 5 and verse 9, Jesus tells us that peacemakers shall be called sons of God. Once we understand the Bible usage of the words sons and children, we can easily understand this beatitude does not apply to worldly people. If we truly have God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we are indeed His children and united in the spiritual body of Christ. We're descendants, literal descendants of God. We'll have the same peaceable attitude. We'll show the same peaceable disposition as our Father, our Heavenly Father. Taking a quote from Mr. Messier's newsletter, we in God's church today must embrace and proclaim and live with all our being the gospel of the kingdom of God, a gospel of love and peace. We are to seek peace and pursue it. As true peacemakers, we will live God's law of love. Brethren, if we truly follow Christ's example, the one threatening us will soon find himself without an opponent. Therefore, God advises us to be passive in the face of conflict, contention. This does not mean we'll be a grade A wimp in God's kingdom. When Christ returns to establish his Father's kingdom on this earth, we will be kings and priests and shall rule with a rod of iron. But we will also rule in fairness, love, and mercy with a humble and just attitude. I'd like to conclude by saying, to this world, a godly peacemaker is not nearly as exciting or conclusive as the Colt 45 peacemaker, the gun that won the West. But when we're standing before God and give an accounting of our life, which peacemaker do you think He will choose to rule in His kingdom?